So reports started surfacing yesterday that Donald Trump was going to back off this weaponization fund, this $1.8 billion for those that could make the case that they were wronged by the federal government. And as a result, you had, as a result of the announcement of this fund initially, you had blue states like California and Gavin Newsom saying that, well, if anybody in my state gets this money, we're going to tax you 100%. You're not going to get any of it.
Some of the other blue states were thinking about doing following suit, right?
Yeah, and all of a sudden, you've got blue states taking over federal money, and you're like, whoa, hold on a second. But now the president's backed off of it. Now what? Dan Marica is the co-author of the Early Brief newsletter for the Washington Post and joins us this morning. Dan, what a great name to have for the 250. My goodness.
Thank you so much. Yes. People think it's a pen name, but it's actually my real name. I was born with it.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Thanks for your time this morning. Let's talk about it. What did you make initially of the announcement of this fund and then yesterday as the report started breaking that the White House was backing away from it?
I mean, clearly this is something that the president has harbored, not in private, in public for a long time. He's talked about how he's felt wronged by the federal government for years. It's kind of animated his second term and his kind of rise from losing in 2020 to winning again in 2024. So this is something that he has been public about for a long time. I think it was pretty clear quite quickly how unpopular it was, though. I mean, it takes a lot for Republicans on Capitol Hill to break with the president, as we've seen over this term. And this was something that they were publicly breaking with the president on. Yes, they were going to him directly, going to the administration, urging him to end this. And it was seeming like if they don't decide to end it themselves, that there will be a number of votes on Capitol Hill where Republicans will be forced to either vote to continue this fund or vote to break with the president. And that's a pretty tough position to put Republicans in, especially in a midterm year. You've got a lot of Republicans who are up for re-election, obviously every Republican in the House and a number of Republicans in the Senate. And they don't want to be put in that position of taking a tough vote that puts them between the president and what is maybe popular with voters. You saw that yesterday with Senate Majority Leader John Thune bluntly telling reporters that the best way for this to be handled was for the administration to decide to shut it down themselves and not put the Senate in a place where they have to vote to block it or stop it in any way.
Dan, can a state realistically impose a 100% tax on a specific category of payments, or would courts just likely view that as an attempt to kind of circumvent the run around the federal policy?
It's a good question. There were some legal questions that we were stewing over when we wrote our story about the 100% tax. I asked Michael Bennett, who is currently a senator from Colorado, but is the leading Democratic candidate for governor in Colorado. He was in favor of implementing the 100% tax, came out in favor of it. It's particularly relevant in Colorado because you have a former election official who was put in jail because of her work around kind of forward President Donald Trump's mistruths about the 2020 election. She was actually just granted clemency and is now out of jail, and Vice President J.D. Vance even raised this person's name at the press briefing as somebody who could be qualified to get a payout from the government. So it's particularly relevant in Colorado. I asked the senator and possibly the next governor of the state if he had heard of any legal issues. He had not, but there are certainly questions about how you target a tax like that. For a lot of Democrats, this was just a creative way to A, voice their opposition to this payout fund, but B, I think there were some Democrats who thought they could make this work, and if somebody from their state got a payout like this, that they would just take 100% of that payout. I do think you are right in asking that question, though. That a lot of this, if it goes forward, will probably end up in the courts.
I want to go back to something you said, because I think it's interesting. You're right. It does take a lot for Republicans on Capitol Hill to break with the president, but tying this in with the reconciliation bill, with the budget for the ballroom, all seemed to be too much, and it felt like Republicans didn't have the votes. But if it's not this issue, it's the issue of primarying sitting Republicans that have that incumbent tag with them going into a contested primary, a contested runoff, a contested midterm election. It feels like Republicans are being whiplashed a little bit, and I have to imagine that's not being taken well.
No, I mean, Republicans are in a tough position with the midterms. You've got a president whose popularity is certainly waning, even with members of his own party. He's got pretty low approval numbers. There is a desire on Capitol Hill to do something that is broadly popular or that would get Republicans something to run on before the midterms. That's that reconciliation, that third reconciliation package. That has proven very difficult, and I think there's a lot of skepticism that that could get done by the time of the midterms. But there is that energy to do that, because Republicans do know that this is a tough cycle for them. It's a second-term president who is not very popular right now, who is pursuing a number of issues that aren't popular as well. I mean, this Iran war in particular is not very popular with voters. You talk to voters who are kind of perplexed as to why it's all happening when they're more concerned about, the price that they're paying at the pump or the price that they're paying at the grocery store. So Republicans know that this could be a really tough midterms for them, and I think there's a desire to maybe shake that up in a way, and that's where that reconciliation package comes in. That could be stuffed with things that Republicans view as broadly popular. I just think there's a it, you know, Congress has not been known over the last few years as a fast-moving body. And so it's unlikely that you could see something get done by the time of the midterms, just given the way that our politics and that Congress moves right now.
Dan, the issue of this fund, though, it seems to raise a broader question. Who gets to decide when someone has been wrongfully investigated or prosecuted? The courts, the Congress, the executive branch, or the taxpayers?
It's a totally fair question, and you had already seen some Democrats line up, and some folks say that they feel like they have been wronged by the federal government. There was going to be, I believe it was a five-person panel that was going to be nominated for this fund to kind of decide and adjudicate these things. I don't think there was any insights into who would be on that five-panel fund, because last week a judge basically hit pause on the entire thing, and so that stalled a lot of the work that was going on. But it's a totally fair question of, who decides what the bar is of being wronged by the federal government, and where does that stop? I mean, there are people who probably have claims from decades ago who maybe they could go to this fund. Are people who feel like they've been wronged by the Trump administration, are they eligible for such a fund? I mean, the Trump administration made very clear that this was open to Democrats, independents, and Republicans. But it's a totally fair question of, like, who gets to decide the kind of wrongs that this fund was supposed to right? And I think that gets into why it was so broadly unpopular with Republicans as well. It's just not very, I don't, this is not really breaking news, but it's not very popular to voters broadly when you see a political party handing out money to people who they view as their supporters.
Dan Merica, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you got it. Coming up on the other side, American Axle goes to the strike. We'll talk about it with Merrick Masters. Next, it's JR Morning.